Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with the Drake Jason Justice on this Friday, May 4th, 2018. Tim Grenhard will be in studio with us at about 6:30 or so. And then we'll have Gary Lezak with your weekend forecast, Mike McFarland to talk some Royals baseball. We'll also chat with Joel Goldberg about the Royals. And then our friend Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports to talk about the Triple G fight, which takes place tomorrow night, in his exclusive chat with Triple G and Triple G's camp about the future for Triple G after this fight, after he gets past Vanus Matarosyan, which there is no doubt he will. And we'll see if Canelo and the rematch in September is going to happen, or if it's going to be someone else after Kevin Ioli chatted with Triple G in his camp this week. He'll tell us everything that was said at 9:30. So all that and more coming up on the Border Patrol today. The Royals get a nice win yesterday out at Kauffman Stadium, out at the K, school day at the K.
Weather day at the K.
The Royals win 10-6. It was, the weather held off. It didn't rain, but it was very hot and very muggy. It went from being rainy and overcast, and nobody knew if the rain was going to hold off enough for the entire game to be played. And then the sun came out, and it got nice and hot out at Kauffman Stadium. I had had enough of school day at the K before first pitch. I'll tell you that. I was serving hot dogs to all the fine third, fourth, and fifth graders in at St. Gabe's, and the parents that took time out of their busy schedules to come out and have some fun and eat hot dogs. And then everybody went in to the game. A lot of screaming, a lot of yelling. I was nearly hit by a car driven by some maniac.
Sorry about that.
And that's no joke. He nearly hit me with a car in the parking lot at Kauffman Stadium.
Drake did?
Yep. Yeah.
I was coming in kind of late.
I think it was on purpose.
I thought he was kidding.
He startled me this is a long process, a school day at the K. You know, because you set up, we got a nice tent and, you know, grills and refreshments and tables and stuff. And you got to make sure all the kids get in, you know, and all the chaperones. Sometimes it's harder to keep track of the chaperones than it is the children, because the chaperones like to start talking, you know, and yeah, you know how it is. You know, sometimes parents are bigger handfuls than the kids, is what I'll say.
Yep.
That's what I'll leave it at. I think anyone that was there with me yesterday knows what I'm talking about. And so, you know, getting everyone in there. And then I think I was in between running back and forth, and I'm running from Susan's car to my car, and I actually don't have my car because I've got my dad's car right now because we're down a car in the St. John family. And so I'm running around, and I'm running back out to her car. I don't even know what I was going to get. And I see like an SUV get kind of close to me, and then the window rolls down. St. John, where are you going? Drake, what are you doing? And so I go, school day at the K. And I'm run off, and I'm running through the cars. And here he pulls into an open parking spot, and damn near takes me out. Almost clipped me.
Wow.
I feel like it was on purpose.
Well, he's had to work with you for a few days already now.
I feel like
he's had enough.
I feel like he was sending a message. But, you know, hey, message received.
Jake left me specific instructions about a lot of things.
Yeah, well, that was one of them. It got my heart rate going. And so, it was a fun day for all the kids out there. and the Royals put on a show. Boy, did they. Home runs from Salvador Perez and Alex Gordon, a tape measure shot from Jorge Soler to where the truck used to be, the truck in the air that one time there was I'd offered to watch a game in that truck. Well, that was going to be that was nearly a promotion back on 97.3 The Planet, Drake. Ted Edwards was trying to find a way to get me up in that truck. And I said, you know what, Ted? I'd like to put you up in that truck.
And leave you there.
Yeah. And that's the promotion. How long can you stay up in that truck? You know, the best part, the promotion would never end. You know? He just, that's a former program director, ladies and gentlemen. I got Drake going now. I don't know if you remember when I suggested that idea in the promotions meeting. Why don't we see how long we can leave our program director up in the truck? Well, how would I get down? Well, hey, that's up to you, buddy. I don't know. That's part of the promotion. Figure out a way down from the truck. Remember the truck used to stand up there? That was a lot of fun.
Supposedly, if somebody hit that truck, they'd win the free truck, right?
Would Soler have won the truck?
I don't know if he did or a fan wins it. I don't remember who wins it. Somebody would win it.
Anyway, it was a glorious home run from Jorge Soler with a slash line now of 312, 435, and 538. Started off the season well. He's being patient. He's walking. His on-base percentage is very attractive, but maybe he is giving up some power to be a little bit more of a disciplined hitter and not such a free swinger. Well, he's showing the power now, and he's still taking his walks. And so he looks really, really good. He has 4 home runs now on the season to go along with 10 ribbies. So he's increasing his power numbers while keeping that on-base percentage above 500. And he just looks real good at the plate. Yesterday, 1-for-4 with a walk, 3 runs scored. He did strike out once, but we'll take that if it comes along with a home run. And so he looked terrific. Salvador Perez goes 2-for-4. And as I mentioned, hit a home run, his second home run of the year. Lucas Duda even got in on the act, had 3 hits and 4 ribbies. And so the Royals put on a show for all the kids in the crowd, and they won 10-6 over the Detroit Tigers. Eric Skoglund went back to being terrible. 4 2/3 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. But he had a good start his last time out. And, you know, you can't complain if some of us have complained about too many veterans playing in the starting lineup and not giving opportunity to young position players to try to grow with this team or at least try to find out what you've got. You know, I guess if we're going to say that, we might as well sit back and watch Eric Skoglund every 5 days to see if, I don't know, if he can get better, if he can mature, if he can develop. And so I guess that's you know, I can't sit here and complain. But see, they are going with Lucas Duda and John Jay and all these other veterans and Alcides Escobar. And Mike Moustakas. And so it's kind of weird. It's like, you know, in some ways they're sticking with the plan, in other ways they're not. And so that's why I was kind of puzzled. I thought based on what they were doing with the position players, then we would have seen Clay Buchholz. And they would have given him a chance in the rotation to see if he could build any trade value, and they might be able to flip him. But they like Skoglund. I mean, he looked good his last start-up. But, you know, I've said I don't see it. Mike Boddicker doesn't see it, and I rely on him a lot as far as pitcher evaluation. He thinks he could be a swing man, maybe a long reliever, a useful piece in the bullpen, but as a starting pitcher, remains to be seen, but not a good one yesterday, right?
No, every time the Royals would take the lead, he'd give it back up. It seemed like that kept happening over and over again. Then finally, the Royals bullpen actually did pretty well last night, so the Royals just kept tacking on runs. It's good to see that the Tigers bullpen's apparently as bad as the Royals.
Right.
And it's great to see Alex Gordon have a huge day. He's hitting over 300 now, and he turned on that pitch, man. He really drove it. He's looking different than he's looked in a long time. And who knows if it's just a little hot stretch, but I don't even remember him having really a little hot stretch here and there very often in the last couple years. So
3-for-4 with 2 runs scored and a ribby. Like you say, he's hitting 303. He's showing some pop. It's the second home run. I mean, he was giving nothing, so anything is a positive. But he looks, I mean, he looks good. He looks really good.
Certainly would be nice to see him recover for the last couple years of this contract he's got.
Rustin Dodd wrote a lengthy article about Alex Gordon and him building confidence. And basically he said that, and I read from Rustin Dodd, Alex Gordon starts with his hands. This, he says, is where the adjustment began, where a mini renaissance was born. He's trying to keep his hands back longer. He's seeking to load quicker. He's trying to stride straight at the pitcher. And as Rustin writes, you may not have noticed these tweaks if you watched Gordon over the last week. They're minor in scale, insignificant to the untrained eye, but Gordon said a lot of little things as hitting coach Terry Bradshaw was watching him work in the batting cage yesterday. Gordon said, I feel like my swing is a little bit different than it was at the beginning of the season. Well, that's a good thing. He says, I feel more comfortable right now, just short, quick, and not trying to do too much. So,
it's kind of interesting how sometimes by trying to do less, you can do more, because he's actually hit a couple of home runs since then as well. Remember, the power had completely gone from his swing over the past year or two. So,
when Rustin Dodd asked him if he asked Gordon if he's ever been worried that he would not find his old form, Gordon said, I don't really care. Right now, I just feel good. I'm not really worried about what happened last year or the year before. I'm just trying to play hard for the team right now, and whatever happens, happens. You can't dwell on negative things in the past. You just got to look ahead, and hopefully things get better. And look, that's one thing you could say about Alex Gordon. He's mentally tough. He's been through a lot of ups and downs in his career. We remember when he came up with so much fanfare and didn't live up to it quite a bit. I've seen plenty of top prospects and can't-miss prospects come up and struggle at the major league level, and they really never recover from it. They're never able to get over that. And it just, hey, look, there's some guys that just can't make it at the major league level. But he's had injuries that he's had to deal with. And like I said, it hasn't been a perfect career where you just can't, you know, like Mike Trout, you know, everyone compares it to Mike Trout. That's just, it's not how it happens, you know. So, some guys have to struggle. Some guys have to get sent back to the minors. Some guys have to reinvent themselves. And so he's kind of been through everything. He's been through bad baseball here. He's been through great baseball. He's helped the Royals win a world championship. And so he's been through everything. This is something that he's never been through. Wondering if his career was over. Wondering if he had anything left as a baseball player, as a hitter. And but you have to have that kind of mentality. You have to have that type of psychology when you approach this thing, where you can't worry about it. You can't think about last year. You can't think about 2 years ago. I know some people might roll their eyes at some of those comments, but that's absolutely the attitude that you have to have. If you sit there and dwell on what's happened the last 2 years and keep thinking about that over and over again, you're never going to be able, I think, to take a step forward and move forward. You learn from what your mistakes were. You make the adjustments, but, man, you can't beat yourself up for it, because baseball's too tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough to hit a baseball. It's hard enough to be a good hitter at the major league level. And so, look, is he fixed? Is he back? Is he the old Alex Gordon? I don't know. But those comments suggest that he's got the right approach, at least from my perspective, the right mentality about it. You can't focus on the negative, because there's been plenty of it the last couple of years. You got to make your adjustments and hope something clicks and move forward.
I mean, yeah, the old adage is that baseball's a game of failure. So it's the guys who can manage failure the best that can survive in this league and have success. And certainly he's dealt with a lot of failure over the last 2 years. But, you know, it even goes to the point of you can't dwell on your last at bat, let alone your last bad season.
Right.
You know, you go strike out, you can't be thinking about that for the next 15 minutes, half hour before you get up again. So,
and another good reason to check out Rustin Dodd at The Athletic, and he finished his column with this. His sole focus this season, belief. And Alex Gordon said, that's one thing I wanted to work on this year, just believing in myself the whole year, even if things weren't going very well. I kind of got off to a slow start, But then I went on the DL stint and kind of refocused the start. When I came back, I just want to be positive. Just believe in yourself. And sometimes confidence and belief is all you need. We'll see if it continues for the now hot Alex Gordon. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with the Drake Jason Justice. I'm wearing my my new hat in celebration of Cinco de Mayo weekend. This is the special hat for the El Paso Chihuahuas.
It's like a very angry Chihuahua on your head.
Of MILB.com is where I got this. Minor League Baseball and their celebration of Latino heritage. Do you like this?
I do like it.
I'm going to wear this tomorrow at Port Fonda for the big Cinco de Mayo celebration. And remember, if you're looking for a place to party, I'm going to be out there tomorrow looking to have a great time. I'm probably going to get out there around 3 o'clock or so because that's when the mariachi band will start playing, and that's what I'm most excited for. But the party is all day long. I mean, they have brunch from 9 until 3, so 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Did you know they are very kid and dog friendly?
Is that right?
If you have a kid, you could take them down there. If you have a dog, or both. So that's all I'm telling you. Very kid and dog friendly. They're not going to be doing reservations on Cinco because it's going to be first come, first serve. Because they're anticipating a wonderful crowd. And so, what if I got you the horchata French toast with coconut syrup and toasted almond granola?
That sounds very sweet decadent.
Wow.
I'll admit, I'm not positive what horchata is.
Ooh. Ooh. My grandmother would smack your mouth. No, she'd try, but then she wouldn't. She just threatened. She's very sweet, but she'd get angry. Certain things. That would be one of them. But if you want to come down, you can enjoy great specials and also fantastic entertainment because from 12 until 3, they'll have DJ Keenan Nichols playing the hits for you, playing some wonderful music, and then he'll be DJing from 7 until 10. In between that, the live mariachi band from 3 until 6, and the Kentucky Derby will be broadcast live and with sound. They're working on getting the Triple G fight later on in the night. But come out there in the afternoon with me. I'll be there from like 3 until 7 or so, and we'll go, we'll enjoy the mariachi music. We'll enjoy some great food. I already said the tamale pie. I mean, I'm not even sure what this entails, but I just want it.
It sounds delicious.
I have to have it. And then afterwards, after the mariachi band is done at 6 o'clock, and after we're done with the Kentucky Derby, we'll be keeping our eyes on Sporting Kansas City. They're going to be playing tomorrow night. And so come out and join me for the best Cinco de Mayo party around. Port Fonda, it's located at 4141 Pennsylvania, down in Westport. KC Mo, don't you know? And all the information you need is at portfonda.com. What about Sporting Kansas City?
Yeah, big game tomorrow night, 7:30 against the Colorado Rapids. Sporting will try to get back on the right track.
Colorado!
And get back on the winning side of things after they suffered a controversial loss last weekend. But, yeah, it's Cinco de Mayo out there, too. They're going to have food trucks out in the Toyota Plaza. They're going to have Cinco de Mayo cerveza specials. Matt Beasler bobblehead. And Sporting KC in first place in the West, taking on a Western Conference team. So I think there's still some tickets available. 888-4KC-GOAL, SportingKC.com. If you want to join us out there, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's hear from Ned Yost. I want to hear him talking about Jorge Soler. I listened to this yesterday, and I think this is another good sign that Jorge, you're looking for evidence, you're looking for proof that this just isn't a hot month or a hot couple of weeks from Jorge Soler. What adjustments has he made? Why has he looked so good at the plate? And again, it's not just the power. It's the walks. It's the patience. It's the pitch selection. Here, Ned Yost talks about Jorge Soler and the preparation that he's doing.
He has really gotten into the homework side of it. Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, every day on the computer, Pedro and Terry Bradshaw have taught him how to do his own scouting report. And finally, it was great in Boston the other day. He sat down and did it all himself. And Pedro came to check it. And he, I mean, he started bouncing on, this is what he does, here. And Pedro said to him, he said that, you know, that's really, really good. He said, but there's only one thing wrong. He said, what? And he goes, you did it for a left-handed hitter. You're a right-handed hitter.
But you know what? That's a good sign, though, because you know as well as I do, there's still players that aren't interested in doing that much preparation.
Mm-hmm.
We're buying into to everything, you know, and they'll bristle at that. But Soler, I mean, he clearly wants to be better. And you could see the work that he's put in.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he looks like a different hitter than he did in the times that we saw him last year. So, I mean, Ned was having some fun with him there, but I love hearing that. The willingness to want to put that extra effort in, that extra work in, the willingness to try to make himself into a better hitter. And look, it's certainly paying off so far this season.
I'll tell you what, man, that guy swings hard. He has a violent swing. It's a pretty swing, actually. It's not a herky-jerky swing at all, but he gets all of his follow-through. I mean, that bat is hitting him in the backside with both hands on his follow-through. He swings hard, and it seemed like it was only a matter of time before the power would come around, and now we're starting to see it. He's having a great year so far. It's biggest bright spot of the season.
Bigger than Junis?
Yeah, I think so.
Those are the two brightest spots, though.
Those are the two big bright spots.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, there's no doubt about that.
There are starting to be some bright spots emerge. Alex Gordon's been really good. You know, it's good that Kelvin Herrera.
But like for future. You know, those are the
two.
Yeah,
no, those are the most important ones, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
But Alex Gordon's going to be here for at least, you know, a couple of more years.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to watch Alex Gordon, why not watch him be successful?
If you're going to pay him $20 million, might as well get some home runs, maybe steal some base.
Cross your fingers, Kansas City. And the Royals back at it with the Tigers tonight, 7:15. Francisco Liriano for the Detroit Tigers. Ian Kennedy for the Kansas City Royals. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Tim Grunhard and the Drake Jason Justice. The Drake wants everyone to know that it is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Happy Star Wars Day to all of those that consider themselves Star Wars geeks, Star Wars fans, Star Wars lovers.
Whoa.
Lovers.
Star Wars.
You a Star Wars lover? Love the Star Wars?
I do like Star Wars a lot. I don't know if I'm a Star Wars lover.
You say love.
If I'm a lover.
I think I'm a Star Wars lover.
Are you a lover?
Oh, man.
I like Star Wars. And, I'll watch Star Wars. I've seen every one of them, and I enjoy
them.
You've
seen them all, haven't you?
I enjoy them.
When I was a kid, I was absolutely a Star Wars lover. It was my favorite. Those were my favorite movies and action figures and all that stuff when I was a kid.
You're number one, aren't you, Drake?
Drake's got me.
Are you number one?
He is number one.
Pretty high up there.
Chad Boger's a pretty big Star Wars lover.
How about your boys?
Yeah, you guys always get to go to the premieres.
Are your boys not? Do they?
My older one more than my younger one. My younger one likes it a lot. My older one really loves it.
So he follows exactly after you, and your younger one's like, ah.
Yeah, that's why the older one and I don't always get along. Right. We're very, very similar.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that sounds very familiar. So, will you watch anything? Will you do anything special today for Star Wars Day? Will you?
No, but I am looking forward to the Han Solo movie.
Any Princess Leia reenactments or anything?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, no. What's your favorite?
Tell you
movie?
What, that scene in Return of the Empire. Jedi had me asking some questions when I was a kid.
Empire?
why is Jabba the Hutt eating his gerbil?
That's all right, Drake. I'm listening to you. What was your favorite one again?
Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
That's no doubt.
No doubt at all.
What's number two?
I love that Rogue One a couple of years back. That was great.
Oh, really? Okay.
Rogue One was really... See? I think Rogue One was the best of all the new ones.
Absolutely.
See, I'm not sure. I want to like Solo coming up. I really do, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it is probably the better. I'm just not feeling it.
Well, I'm skeptical of who's... I don't know who the actor is, but who can play Solo other than Harrison Ford, you know?
That's right. And Chewbacca, too. I mean, who could play Chewbacca?
Right.
Other than Chewbacca, right. Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, he's still alive, though. He can come back and play it. But I would say that most Star Wars lovers would pick Empire Strikes Back as their favorite.
Yeah.
Is that that's the common.
I think so.
Why?
Because Luke fulfills his destiny.
Is that right?
It's kind of dark. It's bleak. I love it.
It's kind of dark. It's kind of bleak.
You know what's not dark and bleak is the month of May. I am so happy. I love the month of May. It's my favorite month of the year.
Do you love it as much as getting roasted?
I you know what? I like getting roasted. That was fun. I had a really good time.
So
you guys
okay?
All did great. Yeah, I'm great. I mean, I thought it'd be a lot worse, to be really honest with you. I thought it was going to be a lot.
I thought
more.
I held up my end.
You
of the
did
it.
You did a wonderful job. Both of you guys did, really. We're not going to go through who did good and who did bad.
I thought some of your ex teammates were way too easy on you.
They were.
They could have given. I mean, you were concerned that it would be too much, and I was concerned that it wouldn't be enough, and it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. It really wasn't enough. You did. You did, and I'll tell you, I will talk to the guy when he comes on, because I talked to him yesterday, Gary Lezak. Mm-hmm. He really got roasted more than I did.
But no, he did a great job of roasting.
He was awesome.
Oh, he did great, and then he got roasted.
Yeah. Well, sure.
I mean, and then he's like, well, I said, Gary, you know, with your whole situation, it's the first time you've really been involved in something like this after your proclamation.
Right.
I said, what did you expect?
What did he say afterwards?
He was a lot of gay jokes. Right. I'm like, well, Gary, I mean, it's the first time that you've been in a setting where everybody loves you. I mean, come on.
That's the thing. The reason that Lezak got roasted as much is because, like you said, is because everybody loves him.
Yeah, everybody loves him. It's easy to roast somebody.
Yeah.
See, that's why I'm sure. I don't know if you guys like me, because you didn't really roast me as bad as I thought you would. It's almost the opposite.
No, I'm afraid of you, Grunny. That's why I didn't roast you more.
You're afraid of my mom.
What did she think?
She loved it too.
Yeah.
Sarah said it's time to go home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those. Another.
You
one,
said it wasn't time to go home afterwards.
I know. I wanted
to
stay.
We were gonna
burn the candle at both ends.
We made some great plans, and I stayed.
I didn't.
Well, I know you didn't.
I didn't.
You left me alone.
I had no choice. She grabbed me by my ear and said, "It's time to go home now." Yeah. You know, it was more that. You know, because you're up on that stage, and they kept bringing me these wonderful, just delicious 360 vodka drinks.
Yeah.
And they kept bringing them and putting them on my little table, and she's like, I was watching you. I think you had like 10. I'm like, why were you watching me? She's like, what else was I going to do?
Right.
I said, why are you always watching me? She goes, well, you're up on the stage with a spotlight on you, and they kept bringing you drinks. And she said, and then there was times when they were like, it looked like bourbon they were bringing you and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, it was delicious.
So. You remember why they kept bringing you drinks?
Because I kept asking.
Because you told me, hey, tell them to keep bringing me drinks.
I'm not blaming anybody but myself.
Yeah, right. That was the big reason.
Because
why.
I kept asking. No, it was great. It was a lot of fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Christian Okoye is such a wonderful guy. And thank you to Christian for doing what he does for his charity. And then everybody who came did a wonderful job. It's not easy to get up there and roast people. You guys, and Stephen, especially you as the MC, you do just a great job. I mean, everybody, not to downplay Nate's role at all, but everybody came up and said to me that, Stephen, you stole the show. So good job. You do a wonderful job of that. You are really good at just being rude. And you know, right. There's something special about that.
That, you know, that took some, I put some effort into it. I sat and wrote jokes.
No, you didn't.
Yes,
no,
I did.
No, you drove back from Chicago in the middle of the night and thought
about it. The ones I thought about, like, for you.
Don't like, lie to everybody. It's not like you were sitting at your desk burning the midnight oil. You were driving home. Everybody was sleeping, and you were, like, yeah.
I was taking notes. I think I was most proud of the one where I said that you had, your grades were so bad at Notre Dame that they actually hired Rudy to tutor you.
Yeah, that was good.
Rudy was a dumbass.
That's right.
That was good. Yeah.
And you love Rudy. You're a big Rudy.
No, I'm not really a big Rudy.
That's another reason why I told the jokes. He don't like Rudy. Oh,
it's not that I don't like Rudy. It's
I don't think you do.
I don't like Rudy.
Everyone, and let me tell you something. Everybody that I've ever talked to that has met Rudy has said the same thing. Man, I don't like Rudy. Ruined the movie for me.
Well,
everybody.
He went to the Royals fantasy camp this year, and a lot of people came out of there like, not a big Rudy fan.
He was at the Royals fantasy camp?
Yes, he was.
Why am I just hearing about this?
I don't know. Ask Boddicker.
I have to ask him, and Bluma was there.
Bluma was there. Sure. Bluma's listening.
Is this the first you've heard of this?
I hadn't heard of this.
He was there. I think he did a motivational deal for all the campers, and then I think he participated in a day or two.
Motivated them to throw him out, huh?
Thank you for telling me that.
You're welcome.
You know what, Bluma?
I want to go to that fantasy camp someday.
So do I.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
That would be a blast. I may do the Cubs one, though.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I grew up with...
Yeah, of course. That's your team.
Cubbies.
But that would be awesome.
But once again, a great time and a great month as everything is blooming. My allergies are starting to kick in. I know there's a lot of my allergy sufferers out there also starting to kick in. But you just love it. You know, Sarah and I, we do our little mile and a half, 2 mile walk every day, and this city just explodes with just beauty. And man, I don't know, I'm feeling my age a little bit as I'm going to turn 50 here in about a week, but really. Wonderful time of the year, and, you know, it was great yesterday. I know that, and, you know, so I grew up watching day baseball. I mean, I'd come home from school and be like the fifth inning on WGN Channel 9 and watch the rest of the Cub game and just loved day baseball. Yesterday I was just really excited. It was 2 days in a row now of day baseball. And I forgot all about school day at the K until I saw that Mike Thompson's head exploded on the second base spot there when he was blowing up balloons that were going
horrible.
Up into the sky and all that kind of stuff. But, it was really cool to watch that game, and it was a fun game to watch. Boy, they played really well. I think they put a little helium in the ball, so what do you think?
Well, you know what? That tickles a little bit, but then you get used to it.
You do get used to it.
Grunny, rookie mini camp starts this weekend.
Yes.
And the drafted rookies and undrafted free agents that the Chiefs have brought in will be practicing on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Now, I know you pointed out that some media members will go out there and jump to conclusions very quickly, but
after the first pass.
Besides that, what is the importance? Clearly, for undrafted free agents, a chance to turn some heads and maybe make the team or get a real chance to make the team at training camp. But what is the significance of rookie minicamp? Take us back to your rookie minicamp.
Well, my rookie minicamp, it was about this time, 28 years ago when I got drafted by the Chiefs. And Dave Zott and I were not roommates, but we first met. And I have a call out to Zott to see if he can call in this morning.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, just to say hello. Darren Kearns, my buddy Darren, is working with rookie minicamp and minicamp with the Jets right now. And he ran into Zotter and said, hey, Zotter, you know, Grunny's out in the mornings on Friday. He goes, I'll call in. So we'll see. But I remember getting there, and I remember walking in, and it really wasn't rookie minicamp. I think we had one day, and then the veterans came. So I think we had one day, like it was a Thursday, and then the veterans came, it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at camp. When they came in, it felt like I was a freshman again. I mean, they were such big, they looked like men, and I felt like just a little kid. But I remember meeting Steve DeBerg, and that's when Howard Mudd gave me a football and said, hey, go to that guy right there and snap a couple to him. I said, really, right here in the locker room? He goes, yeah, because, you know, I never played center until I got here. And then there was this old man walking around. It was Mike Webster. And I was like, he's the starting center. It's like, that guy's a starting center. He looked like he was about 60. So I walked over to Steve DeBerg. I said, I think I even called him Mr. DeBerg. I really do. I said, Mr. DeBerg, I'm supposed to snap the ball to you here a couple times. He goes, hey, you know, Berg, you go, hey, Lada, what are you doing? Hey, yeah. One snap. One. Yeah, you're good. I was like, okay, I'm ready. Ready for practice. One snap. Ready for practice.
Yeah.
Scared to death. A, just to get the snap to him. And B, and then having to block guys like Bill Moss and Dan Saliamore. And I was like, you know, holy cow, this is going to be interesting. But Mike Webster is my mentor and got me through it and helped with me. And the one thing he told me, and I tried to do it the rest of my career, he said, the thing you need to do is get in and get out of the huddle as fast as possible. So after the play was over and I was down the field, and I was always one of those guys who got down the field, I would sprint back and set the huddle. And I was saying, instead of this, and this, I don't think I've ever told anybody this before, I wasn't sure what to say. You know, like, huddle! You know, or somebody know where you're at. I was saying, like, rack 'em.
Like in billiards.
And Howard Mudd came up and goes, what are you saying rack 'em for? I said, know what we're doing? Like racking them up over here or something? I never
liked that, did he?
He just looked at me like, what did I do here? I drafted a guy who's saying rack 'em.
That was back when the draft had 12 rounds.
Yeah. And so it was a great weekend, but I do remember we also had a testing day, and watching Richard Baldinger test, like run, was the most painful thing I've ever watched. It was so bad and so slow. And I said, these guys actually could play in the NFL. I think he ran like a 6.0 40. And I don't even think they were trying. And him and Lutzi, I don't think they were trying at all. And me and Zotter looked at each other, and if he comes on, we'll talk about it. We looked at each other, shook our head, like, seriously? These guys are NFL players? I mean, we just got off doing the combine and doing all that stuff. I mean, and that was, and they were just, and then I think we did it again like 8 years later. Zotter and I were the same thing. Oh, my God, I can barely run now. I'm not doing this. So yeah, exciting time. Tonight, I, once again, being swim dad, I know we got to take a break. Being swim dad, I'm going to my daughter's EKL championships. She's a senior, so I'm very excited about going. But also was invited to rookie night dinner, and I was going to go sit with all the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen at dinner tonight. I can't do it. I did it last year. I loved it. So tonight they have a rookie dinner with the older players who live in town. They go and sit there, and you have dinner, and you watch a video, and you kind of just talk a little bit about Kansas City and about what it's like to be a rookie and all those kind of things, and it's a great night. So tonight they have that, and then all weekend they have practice.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Tim Grenhard, please introduce our special guest.
Yeah, our next guest is a guy that was actually living in his car, his pickup truck, last 28 years ago on this day. David, what's going on, buddy?
Timmy, you have a good memory like an elephant, I see.
And the ass of one, too, I think. But, hey, yeah, David was, you know, he wasn't quite sure what exactly was going to progress as the mini camp and the camp went along. And he's like, I'm not buying, you know, if you know David, he goes, I'm not buying anything. So as the summer progressed and he was kicking everybody's butt, he had nowhere to live. You remember that, Zotter? And then you and I lived together for, what, 2.5 years after that?
I did, and the ironic thing is my wife actually works for a homeless organization now in the city, so I can relate. I was homeless until you took me out of my truck with all my stuff in the back.
Hey Dave, so they're getting ready to have rookie minicamp here in Kansas City like they are around the NFL, but we were talking about when you and Timmy were at rookie minicamp. What's your best memory of the first time that you met Tim Grenhard?
I tell you, we back then, minicamp was a Monday through Friday. Remember that, Tim?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I walked into this, and that was actually finals week at Penn State, so I didn't fare very well my senior spring because I wasn't in class that whole finals week. But first guy I ran into was Mike Webster, and he introduced himself to me, and I thought he was like, you know, a living the god of center, right? And I couldn't believe that he knew my name. Hey, Mike Webster, Dave, glad to have you. I'm like, how does Mike Webster know my name? And then obviously he was instrumental in breaking us both in to become, you know, and have the career we did.
You know, David, you remember we did that testing program right before it all started, and you and I looked at each other, and like Baldy was running like six flat 40s, and Lutzi could barely get out of his stance. We're like, these guys actually play in the NFL?
I remember Baldy didn't even finish the 40. He kind of veered off to the right. He went about 25 yards and veered off to the right. Lutzi ran it with a dip in, right? But Webby sprinted to every drill. I remember my rookie camp, we're up at Liberty, Missouri, at William Jewell College, and it was god-awful hot in July. And we used to have to, if you remember the field we warmed up on, Grunty, we used to have to run down to do our O-line stuff.
Yes.
And Webby sprinted everywhere. So I remember talking to my older brothers like a week in the camp. How's it going? I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I said, I can't keep up with this 40-year-old guy. He's sprinting everywhere, and I'm dying. I said, I can't keep up with him. I don't think I have a chance.
Hey, Zotter, thank you so much for calling in. I know you got a team meeting. We got to hit a hard break, but it's so great to hear you. Anytime you get here to Kansas City, everybody loves having you here. And, boy, you know, the first thing I said, we got to talk to Zotter about minicamp. You and I. Yeah, you're exactly right. I had to rush back to do finals at Notre Dame. It was a mess. But, hey, Zotter, thanks a lot, man. It's great talking to you. Great hearing from you.
Same here, guys.
That's Dave Zott back into this on WHB.